Know about y'all, but you can tell we had some joyful time this past week, and VBS was just such a wonderful experience for me. To know that this church, we care about our children. We want to have a space for them to grow, to learn, to enjoy being a part of God's family. And I felt that, and I know that our girls felt that this week, so much so that, Haley and I were going to kind of just be in the background, just kind of, observe and make sure they were good, and we were promptly dismissed by my three-year-old very quickly. She said, "You can go." Fair enough. And so on the topic of children, we will not be dismissing Rev Kids this morning. Coop is out of town, but we do have some activities. I see them already back there. They know what to do better than I do. So they are busy back there. So church, would you please join me in a word of prayer this morning? Gracious and loving God, we feel, our God, that your spirit in this place, in this space this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit moves within this time through song, through scripture, through word, and through each other. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Speak within us this morning. I pray, God, that you speak through me, and most importantly, God, you speak in spite of me. All this we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we are still within our lectionary series, and the reason why we're in the lectionary, which is basically breaking up the Bible into sections each Sunday. And the reason is, I was the kind of kid that if you said, hey, write an essay about anything in school, right? Like, write anything you want. I would spend 90% of my time figuring out, do I want to write about this? Do I want to write about this? So I figured I would just stick to what is already planned, what's already set up, so that then I can just focus most of my energy on getting to know you all, as opposed to figuring out what essay I'm going to write. So, that is the reason. And this morning, we are in the book of Romans, the letter to the Roman church from Paul. And we are going to be discussing the Holy Spirit. So, last week, I revealed very intimately that I believe in God, which is a very good thing for you to know about your new head pastor. This week, you get to know something a little bit more, that I believe in the Holy Spirit. So I'm just revealing all types of stuff about myself. And so we're going to be discussing the Holy Spirit. And so the question I have for you all this morning, and I want you to think about this, and I want you to also, last week I asked, what are we growing here at Revolution? And hopefully you will continue to think about that question and let me know the wonderful ministries that are happening at this church. But now I want to look inside ourselves and also ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit to you, to me? How do we engage with the third person of the Trinity? Now, a little bit about myself. I was raised in the Methodist Church. I have only been a member of the United Methodist Church, but I have the honor of having parents that did not grow up in the Methodist Church. My father was Presbyterian, so he liked to sit in worship. And my mom, that's a joke, and my mom was on the opposite side, and she was raised Pentecostal. So, not a lot of sitting in worship. And so with that, I got a lot of different influences in how I view God, in how I view the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think if I am going to be preaching and talking about the Holy Spirit, it's helpful for you all to know the context from which I am preaching from. And so the first thing, I believe that the Holy Spirit for me is the connection that we have here on earth with the divine. Jesus, before Jesus ascended into heaven, spoke about sending an advocate, sending one that would dwell amongst the earth, that would be poured out and allow us to connect and to grow and to do amazing things, much more amazing, Jesus said, than even he did. And then, in the book of Acts, we see that moment where the Spirit descends on the day of Pentecost to the disciples, and they begin to do amazing things, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. And so, when we are engaging with one another, when we are engaging with God, when we are reading Scripture or praying, I believe that is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. God dwelling within us. When we are interacting like we did this past week with our kiddos and leading and teaching, that is also part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Guiding us to those new places or those new opportunities where God's love is being showed and nurtured and guided. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is what calls me out to seek justice, like the voice of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible, who said that the Spirit of God descended on them and they were able to speak out about righteousness and holiness, to make a change so that injustice would not dwell amongst the people anymore. All of that, I believe, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure if I asked you, there would be more and more and more, because it's hard to confine the Holy Spirit, right? It's hard to give just an easy definition. But I believe that it is the work that we do that is inspired by this same Spirit. And so our scripture this morning speaks about the Holy Spirit, and that's why I wanted to at least address this first question before I begin speaking about what we do with this Spirit, how the Spirit changes our hearts, how we engage day to day with one another in light of this Spirit of God. And so we're in Romans chapter 8, and the scripture this morning starts at verse 14. If you would read along with me in this passage, and I promise we will also break down piece by piece, but we'll read it all together. So verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children." Oh, you can read it out loud, or you can read it. That's call and response. I know, I'm learning. I love it. Well, we can do whatever your heart, do whatever the Spirit calls in this moment. How about that? Look at that. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." Perfect. And so Paul is writing to the church in Rome and has spent most of the first part of the letter to the Romans, kind of explaining, y'all have the law, which is the law of Moses, which is the Ten Commandments and the Torah, and y'all have the law. And the law is not inherently bad or evil, but the law gets us to a certain point, right? And then, as he's writing, he begins to explain how we as believers also have the Spirit of God. That when Christ came down, something changed. Something shifted. Where the law, while it was not bad, is now being revealed through the person of Jesus and is being revealed through God's Spirit. And so I have a picture up, and I want to share that because I love this picture, and I found this image because I was thinking about what it means for us to be children of God poured out, or the Spirit being poured out in our hearts. And so I found this, and it's a beautiful depiction of what I feel like defines or details this new, what I would call new identity of children of God. The heart, well, it's like a vase. And I believe that this is true about our spirit as well, or our hearts as well, our innermost being, is we want to be filled. We want our hearts we want to be fulfilled. We want to have purpose. We want to feel content or happy, or that our lives are meaningful. And there are a lot of things that we can fill our hearts with, and this is a depiction of how the Holy Spirit is pouring out and filling our hearts in that moment. Now, I don't know what that moment may or may not be for you. For me, I know it was understanding that my church that I grew up in loved Jesus, loved God, and loved doing the work of God. That filled me, that gave me as a young person the opportunity to say, I want a part of that too. I want to participate in that work. And so, what does it mean when Paul says that we are children of God, that we do not have a spirit of slavery to fall back on, to be fearful of, but that we have the spirit of a living God, a spirit of adoption? What this says to me, first and foremost, is that there is a change that happens. And I love transformation in the Bible because there are times in my life that I say, God, I need a change. I need a switch. I need you to do something new. I need new creation in my life. I need a new spirit of love or of compassion or generosity. And so Paul talks about this is what happens. That the old spirit, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of sin, or the spirit of the body, Paul is very anti-flesh. And so if you read his words, he uses that, a spirit of flesh or a spirit of the world. He's a bit harsh, I think. But, you know, love him anyways, right? Yeah. Love Paul anyways. But he's talking about this switch. We as believers, people that affirm that Jesus Christ came and lived and died, and that spirit dwelling in us, that gives us freedom not to go back to fear. And I'm an anxious person. That's something you'll learn about me. I love to worry about something. I wouldn't call it a hobby, but it is a inclination, right? And so Paul is saying, no. When you have this Spirit of God, you are not falling back on the ways of fear or the ways of not knowing who cares for you or not knowing where you belong or not knowing the community that you belong to, but if anything, you have been adopted by God. And now this is not adopted like we know adoption in our context, okay? I want to be very clear. This is adoption as in we are now recipients of the inheritance of God. Because I don't want us to conflate those two meanings, right? They're not necessarily the same. But it does mean that we are now inheritors of God. That we have this spirit of adoption, and there is a claim that now we are able to be heirs of God. Heirs of God. When we cry out to God, and Paul says, when we cry out, Abba, Father, when we rely on our Creator, that's the testimony that we believe and have been changed and have been shaped, because our reliance is not help me world or help me strength or help me my own intelligence. But there is reliance on God. And even more so than that, it's not that we just inherit what God wants from us, but that we become joint heirs with Christ. And I think that this is a massive, massive point, example, revelation, because now we are not just passerby. When the Spirit of God adopts us and brings us into the fold and brings us into the family of God, we become co-workers with Christ. Not to say, well, Jesus will take care of that, but that Jesus, I'm helping too. Jesus, inspire me to do good work here. The things that we see Christ doing, we are able to participate in. And I look at this as an exciting example of how the community of God is inspired and encouraged to do the work of Christ. And I believe that this church is one that also wants to do the hands and feet work of Christ. And so this is our permission. This is our example to say, yes, we can go out and make a change in the world. We can go out and talk about love and talk about mercy and talk about forgiveness, because it's not something that Jesus is saying, well, only I can do, but is encouraging us and inviting us to the work that is already existing in the world. To say, go and be the loving presence, because that is our identity. Now, I said I love a shift. I love a change. And my anxiety does not overtake my knowledge that Jesus needs the church to do the work. Jesus needs me to do the work. The Spirit is calling me to do the work. And so, if we are to be heirs, joint heirs of Christ, well, that's also a lot of pressure, right? That's a lot of, pressure, I think is the best word. And with that, sometimes it's not going to feel like, hey, what am I doing? And I said last week, sometimes, you know, we're in a rocky place in our lives. Sometimes God is trying to grow something and it's tough and there is suffering or there is hardships or there is pain. But that is not Paul saying, hey, if you're doing it wrong, then you'll suffer. But if you're doing it right, then everything will go well, right? If anything, it is an acknowledgement to say you can be an heir with Christ. You can be poured out in the Holy Spirit. You can go and do the work. And guess what? There is still hardships. You know why? Not because God wants us to suffer and not because I believe that it is our job to go through the crucible and to burn away all of our sinfulness or our baggage through, you know, suffering or through pain, but because the reality is, church, we live in a broken world. We do. It doesn't mean that God didn't create it good, but that sin and pain have tainted it. And we're not immune to that. And yes, we can acknowledge, like Paul says, that the glory of God will shine forth, but that does not glorify the suffering. I'm very careful because part of my education was working in the hospital as a chaplain downtown here at the University Hospital, U of L Hospital.
That's where I was at.
Amen, Brother Tony. And so I got to see firsthand really the worst day of most people's lives. I'm going to be honest. Nobody goes to a checkup at the trauma hospital, usually. And so I was able to be face-to-face with pain. And I say be able to because it shaped how I view the Spirit working. Not that suffering happens and that it's some trial or some test, something that God is making happen because, you know, we need to learn a lesson. But it's a reality of living life. That pain happens and suffering happens. But Paul speaks a little bit more about this when he says that for creation waits with eager longing. The suffering we experience, creation's suffering alongside with us. That there's pollution or that there's pain. That's my timer. I silenced it. Careful. But it's not to say that we don't have that the suffering is always going to be a part of our existence either. And part of being a child of God, part of being a part of the Spirit, part of participating in the work of the Holy Spirit is to acknowledge that things are not how we want them to be. When we say that creation is waiting, creation's waiting for what? For God's new creation to be made here on earth. And even more so, Paul says that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And so what? And I love this question, and usually I end with this kind of question because I had a student that would always ask me this when I was a youth minister. I would say something, think I did really good. Oh, we talked about Job, or we talked about something. I was feeling pretty good about myself. And leave it to a 16-year-old boy to come up and say, yeah, I listened to it, but so what? Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah. And so what? So what do we do with this? What do we do with the acknowledgement that when we have the new identity of being a child of God, when we are able to access the Holy Spirit, when we are being inspired in our work and in our actions by the Holy Spirit, what do we do with that? Well, I think it starts with an acknowledgement. And the acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit is revealing new creation, the new creation in the world. I think sometimes I get hung up by the work that I have to do, and sometimes I'm like, well, I can't change it, right? It's too big, or it's too great, or it's too grand, or I'm only one person, or we only have X amount of resources, or whatever the reason is. Sometimes I get into my head thinking that I'm the one that's causing it to happen. No, that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is the work is already going to happen whether or not I am aware of it or access it or participate it in any way. The work is already happening. The Spirit is already moving. God is already revealing through the resurrection. New creation is already here, and we get the opportunity to help the cause. And that's inspiring. That's that heart being poured open. That's that overflowing cup, knowing that it is not my own new creation, but it is God's new creation that is happening with us, that we get to participate in the work. And the second one, as we live our faith, because it's not just corporate and it's not just on the grand scheme, it's also internal. It's part of us. There's a reason why I believe that the Holy Spirit is that connective tissue between us and the divine, because the Spirit talks to me too. And when I pray, God reveals things. And when I read Scripture, God inspires the words through the Holy Spirit and relates it to me. And a big word in our house is trusting intuition. This is my wife, Haley, by the way. So I'm not just pointing at a random person. Like, let me get an amen. But intuition is something that's really important for us, because how we view intuition is we look into the Holy Spirit within us. And a lot of times, there's a lot of ways that we can doubt that internal voice. That voice that says we are created in the image of God. That voice that says we are poured out by the Holy Spirit. That we are vessels of God. That we are doing good work. And we can question that validity. But let us trust instead. Not to fall back on that old spirit of fear. Not to fall back on thinking that we don't have something good to do, that we don't have something meaningful to participate in, but trusting that voice inside us that is calling for justice and mercy and love, that's worth listening to. Now, I can't see inside each and every one of you to know how you view the Holy Spirit. But as a Methopresbycostal of myself, I have hope that we all can acknowledge where the Spirit is leading us, and that we can join together to do that work, not because God needs us, but that God invites us to do it. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I thank you for pouring your Holy Spirit out on all of us. God, I thank you for the time that we spend in meditation, of understanding this new identity of being called heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. God, I pray that as we go into this world, that you remind us that it is not without purpose that we do and that we act and that we love, but it is in connecting with the God that is more powerful than us, that we are connecting with the Spirit that is guiding and shaping and moving. God, we are not immune from suffering. And sometimes it feels so heavy when we are in the pit. But let us remember that we are never alone. And that suffering is not what you desire for your children, for your world. But that all of creation is groaning for newness, for justice, for peace, and for love. And so be with us, be with those that are needing your comfort and your Spirit this morning. Let us be reminded whose we are. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.